You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. This is the newscast for March 17th, 2013. I'm Fess from ArgerComic.com, and with me, we have Ben Carver returning once again from AnimationAficionados.com. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And Ren from Marsha Mellow Surprise at, I keep forgetting how to spell your URL.
MarshaMellowSurprise.com.
Oh, it's that simple. You know, if you type Marsha Mellow Surprise into Google, it doesn't show up. You have to type in Marsha Mellow Surprise comic.
Yeah, I noticed that recently, and I'm not sure if it's because I did a switch on the website.
Yeah, it's your fault.
It has to be, because it used to come up occasionally, and now it's like I type in marshmallows and I get nothing.
Well, it could be. I don't know what your site design is using. But it might not really have metadata anymore, or barely any.
It probably doesn't, and it makes me sad, and I'm like hating
yourself.
Web life right now. But things will get better eventually. I just need to like hire somebody.
That's usually how you can get things done, is paying them, giving them money.
Exactly.
So we're gonna have a little bit of a follow up. Ben, do you want to take us through this follow up?
Certainly. So first part of the follow up is Chris Sprouse, the artist that was on the team for the new Superman series that was being penned by Orson Scott Card, decided to withdraw from the series because he felt that with the amount of attention the media is giving on Scott Card's personal politics, that the message of the actual comics itself is getting lost and it's not going to do the book service. So he decided to step away and not be involved anymore.
Yeah, it's, you know, regardless of anybody's, you know, personal politics, especially when they're hot button things such as, you know, as what Orson Scott Card believes in. And it's sometimes as unrelated as a project can be, you know, the media or maybe not even just the media, but even the actual fan response could skew things just enough that it's not worth doing overall for some people. And, you know, that's his choice. It was the artist that dropped out, right?
It is right. The artist who dropped out. I think it's unfair that he chose to, because we haven't even seen what the story's about. And it's a Superman story. It's not a story about gay anything. And, like I said, it's just people picking a fight.
Well, it's like to be able to say, you know what, some people, you know, they just don't want to handle this. And that's totally their choice of it's not like Chris was like, if you don't get rid of him, I'm going to leave sort of thing, is a little petty. But, you know, he just basically said, you know what, I'm not going to have any of this. And to a point, it's going to be, I'm sure the story itself is going to be highly criticized regardless of what happens. But
it will be. And a good example I remember of this is actually came from, of all things, Ellen DeGeneres many, many moons ago had a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
And in the sitcom, just like Ellen herself, her character came out as gay.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was having a coming out party, one of her new female gay friends was saying, oh, you can't have those potato chips here. That, you know, that potato chip company is anti-gay rights. And Ellen's like, wait, what? And that's the kind of response I really think should be the right response of, wait, what? Because if you have to start caring about the individual politics of people that may or may not be attached to certain parts of companies, it becomes a minefield where you'll only be buying hand-sewn cotton that you propagated the cotton seed yourself and you'll only be eating food that you grow
yourself.
That's not
true. I mean, okay.
It is 100%
true. That is a good point, actually, because there's so many different stances you could take on so many different issues. It's, realistically, how can you keep it all straight anyway?
I think a lot of times when it comes to, I mean, it's like regardless of whether or not a certain company is for one thing or another, like I know Oreo came out with like their rainbow cookie one time during like gay month or whatever that, I forget what it's called. I'm sorry. but there's like gay rights month or something where companies have come out with certain things sort of supporting this and that. And it's like Oreo came out with the rainbow cookie ad and, Christian right activists or whatever is like, oh, we're going to boycott Oreo because they're for this and that. It's like, well, you're not getting any Oreos then. I mean, it's also, it's like with Chick-fil-A, you know, whether or not they believe this or that, but I think the biggest thing is that they were actually also putting some of their profits towards fighting this. And it's like, so it's like, it's not so much boycotting the product for itself or for who's behind it, but it's also like you don't want to give money to these people because they're actively fighting against you, so you don't want them to have any money. I can get behind that reasoning for that particular type of boycott.
Well, right. That's still going way too far because as we saw with Chick-fil-A, they had some of the best profits that quarter.
I think it's because they gained more people that don't like gays to come to their stores. I think that's what it was. They advertised for the people that actually are behind them on it, and the amount of people that they gained was more than how many people that they lost. I'm sure.
I know several gay people who still eat Chick-fil-A because they're like, eh, who cares?
Yeah, well, that's their choice too, I suppose.
And I see it as, like I said, I see it as the fact that if you want to segregate everything out of your life that doesn't agree with your morality, if you actually want to take a true and Randian objectivist stance on this, which is utterly insane.
Yeah, Ren, stop fussing with your mic.
That's not me.
I said Ren.
Okay. Well,
I'm not. I swear I'm not.
All right.
But like I said, if you want to take it to that level of a logical extreme, you will have to be living in a cabin in the middle of nowhere, making sure that there was never any Indians that ever had that land ever, and all this other stuff. I think
what Ben is trying to say, everybody has their limits, and it's unrealistic to be absolutely against everything on a minute level, but. Let's move on. That we should share, mention that the link that we were referencing came from ifanboy.com, and it was also shared at newsarama.com. Again, you can find all these links in our show notes. We also have one more catch-up on Campbell's Rules of Comprehension. Tell us a little bit about this.
Okay, number one, Campbell's doesn't make ketchup, but...
That's what you think.
Well, basically, this is a follow-up to the Campbell's Rules of Comprehension, where Robert Dempsey wrote some thoughts on the 180-degree rule that reminds us that it's just like what we're saying, that about having characters that talk in order left to right on the panels.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Western reading order. That's exactly what the same things we were talking about earlier, where that's what makes the most logical sense.
Right. And the 180 rule is usually referred a lot in video. I know that for sure. It's like if you have people set in this position, they're left to right, or somebody doing an action going from left to right, and then there's a jump cut and they're going right to left, It's more of a rule of thumb. I mean, it can be done right. Otherwise, it's the logic in the mind and the eye. It follows. It can't follow it because the transition is jumped, and you get confused about. Wait. I thought he was going that way, or is this like a continuity error sort of thing? And then in comics, it can be the same thing, especially if you have a comic with no backgrounds or very little backgrounds where. It's just kind of blah, 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 right? Ben?
But yeah, like I said, you just keep the order of reading to a logical level, and you make it easier versus intersecting and overlapping dialogue box tales.
I mean, I'd almost think that still the 180 degree rule in comics can be better done, because you got more of a static shot. And as long as you show, like if you zoom out, if there's another action happening, a character's moving or they're doing something. And also sometimes it makes more sense than just, you know, extraneously switching the balloons with a big sort of the balloon tail stretching way across over each other. There are ways to do it, but, you know, there's our general rules of thumb, and rules of thumb can be broken if you're good at it, at breaking them, I think. But, so we got that link from the Webcomic Alliance at webcomicalliance.com. And, Ren, I think you read this next episode, this next article.
The, Comixology Creating Submit. I did read it. I didn't submit this, though.
So tell us a little bit about tell us a little bit about what's happening here.
Well, okay. Essentially, Comixology is coming out with a new service called Comixology Submit, and that will basically allow independent creators to upload their strips to the market, and it's not going to cost you anything to do it.
That's what they say, but
right. Obviously, it's not like completely free, but it's not going to cost you anything to upload it to make it available.
I think signing away intellectual rights is a cost in and of itself.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, there's obviously a lot more in there than what they're saying up front. Not just as far as money wise, but also in the contract and everything, as far as what you get to keep and what you don't and all that other stuff. But so it's, as always, read the fine print. Definitely.
Doesn't it say something like if we happen to, like, if our parent company happens to come up with an idea very similar years after you started uploading a comic that you created, then you're, you know, shit out of luck.
Yeah, pretty much if anybody, not just our parent company, but if anybody uploads similar content or something that's exactly like yours, or if whether they uploaded it first or you uploaded it first, yeah, you're pretty much SOL. We're staying out of it kind of thing. So
yeah, that's what bothers me, because I'm always a proponent of creator rights. As a content creator, I am always a strong proponent of stronger creator rights. It's personally, I think it's up to everyone to figure out exactly how much they want to put into it. I actually have an intellectual rights lawyer on retainer.
Oh,
in case things come up,
and I might want to have a talk with him. Actually, this folds into a topic I do want to have on the Webcomic Beacon. And I've been, I talked to Popat, and he gave me a couple of attorneys that I might be able to get free consultation for the show. But essentially, it's like, I want to find out, put together a show of what a creator can legally do. What avenues do they have to fight people that essentially stealing content? If we're the worst case scenario for like this is somebody's quite blatantly stealing your content, and we'll have
right. which has happened to me, which is why I have the lawyer now,
right?
And I was actually able to have the other person pretty much stop with only $300, which sounds like a lot, but it's actually
that doesn't sound that bad
actually.
Well, it turns out he was a teenager, and as soon as a private investigator started snooping around into his life and finding out things about him and basically saying, you know, Larry Lewis in such and such state that goes to this school, we know everything about you, so you better stop.
Yeah, we'll develop a more proper episode for that in the future. But what I wanted to say was,
sounds like a good one.
It's like YouTube. YouTube had that sort of whole thing. It's like, we're not going to get involved, but if somebody brings a claim up, you know, we'll, you know, do what we can sort of thing. But I also like that, like, it's like, you could still, like, say, like, X Comics is essentially stealing your thing. Well, it's like they're saying, okay, Comixology is not going to get involved with it. You have to take it up with X Comics. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, I don't think.
That's the thing. You know, they're taking your intellectual rights, but at the same time, they're not taking the heavy lifting of defending them. So, they're getting the best of both worlds. They're leaving you sort of out of luck.
Right.
Let's say someone sees your comic and is like, hey, let's option this for a Hollywood movie.
Right.
Well, what happens? Yeah, it's Comixology that has those movie rights, not you. Because you uploaded on them.
Oh, is that in there, or are you just suggesting that if that is the case?
I'm still reading through their terms of service.
Oh, really?
Their terms of service is convoluted to the point where I think they're trying to do that.
That's again
convoluted.
Is as in with like any sort of competition or contest where it's like you could be published by us if you just read all of the things and never ever give your rights away.
Right.
Is unless you're completely comfortable with doing that. I know we've had DJ Kaufman on the show a couple of times, and in one
he got screwed bad in the past. Yes.
Yeah, and he didn't even say it's like he went to, what was the company that totally screwed him?
There was more than one.
It was Platinum, and he was like, you know what? I really want to work in this comic again. And he basically bargained his rights back and just saying, you know what, if a movie does come up, you know what, I just want to work and make the comic again. If a movie comes up, you guys can be in charge of that. And he got his rights back because he personally didn't care about any of the movie stuff. He just wanted to make his comic because he found that he was comfortable with that threshold. Granted, this was also after the fact. But, you know,
they pretty much screwed them already financially.
Right, right. But, you know, he was trying
to come away with whatever he could get away with. And the thing is, with indie comics, the biggest paycheck with an indie comic making it big is always the movie. And DJ has a good thing going. And if there was going to be a movie made after his work, it's kind of sad to me that he got screwed royally on that.
Yeah, but everybody has their own threshold, and you know, honestly, you need to read the stuff, and that's what a lot of people don't do. But you know, it's something you got to do. So a lot of this comes from directly from just comixology.com. We'll post whatever information we got here, and we'd also like to know anybody who has gone through with this. And to tell us about their experiences. Of course, you can reach us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Still a little early for anyone to have a full experience. I mean, this was just rolled out.
True, true. But who knows when people get to listen to this episode? Never know. So, something to keep in mind. We're going to move on to a post from bleedingcool.com. How to behave at a convention. For some of us, we'd think it makes, it seems like no duh, but apparently people don't know how not to be an ass, essentially.
Well, I got stories.
You've got stories, Ben.
I cannot wait to hear them.
Okay. I forgot which convention it was, but there was this one guy who got in the convention. What he did was he had a friend carry around a big camera and stick on the side of a cigarette that said, like, Nerd News or something like that. And he walked around with a microphone. He really wasn't with any Nerd News program, but he just walked around. And basically, he got to shake Mark Hamill's hand. He got to go into the back and talk to other famous people. And there was this one fairly attractive girl that was dressed like Power Girl. And because he had a camera with him and he acted like he was on the news side, he actually motorboated her on camera and got away with it.
That's just amazing.
Yeah, I would say you kind of mentioned this story earlier, and I was mentioning that several women that I know, especially in the geek community, that guy's head would have gone into the floor or the wall for sure.
Well, there's worse con stories than that, I can tell you. Do y'all know what MAGFest is?
I've heard of it. I'm not familiar with it though.
Well, MAGFest is a con that's geek and nerd oriented, and this actually caused the whole site to close down. The controversy of this, and I'm on, And I'm actually surprised that there is such little coverage in the nerd realm on this. I actually had to ask around and look for more details because I only read like snippets of what happened at MAGFest 2013. What happened was there was a reviewing site called Reviewtopia that no one's ever heard of, by the way. And what happened was a fan of theirs, this girl, she like broke up with her boyfriend that day, got really drunk, and they had her in a room where they were doing the live stream, and they were just kept on getting her drunk. And what happened was one of the other contributors for that site basically talked her into taking her top off, and someone from Reviewtopia tweeted, you know, retweet this 30 times and we'll have her take her top off again.
Wow.
And it gets worse. It gets worse. And one of the contributors, I believe it was Lord Cat, who used to be with that guy with the glasses until he quit and then found himself on Reviewtopia, I believe. I'm not sure if he was just there or was there with them. He actually felt her up on camera.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and did this lead to a big stink later on with Spoonie?
No, this is something else.
Oh, boy.
No, this happened a year later. This happened this January.
Well, Spoonie left recently. I know that. I wasn't sure if that was...
He left last year around this time.
Okay.
Anyways, what happened was people tweeting back and forth like crazy. There were Facebook posts and everything, and Reviewtopia, like, in the next week was gone because half the people quit and half the people didn't show up to a mandatory meeting.
Oh, wow.
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 So yeah, Reviewtopia was gone. It's I told the story to my friend Kitty Hawk, and she said it's assholes like these that ruin legitimate fun at conventions.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like we could even talk. I mean, this article has like a whole list of things, but you know, it's like I would hope that most of our audience already knows that.
You don't do this shit?
Yeah. I mean, it's like there was like this one time Melissa was on the show and she talked about this experience that she had one year where this guy just sort of kept hovering around her and she kept kind of pushing him away with his finger. You know, they're sitting next to each other or something like that. She's trying to avoid him. Then he ends up biting her, like nibbling or biting on her shoulder, like out of nowhere.
Oh, my God.
And she grabbed his face, slammed him into the wall. It's like, holy shit. And then there's this other time, awesome. like somebody was like going around putting broken glass into unattended drinks just laying around. It's like, dude, there's just some there's just some assholes at cons. But it's like the biggest assholes I would have this, well, aside from like the ones on like would get arrested for
I said, sadly no one got arrested for the MAGFest incident. Someone should have.
I mean, we could have a whole episode on how you talk to and approach women and or not talk to, or how to touch or not touch women, especially if you're posing for con photos.
Don't touch.
Well, like con photos. If you're going to put your arm around, there's like the, you know, how and where and how far you put your hand on the shoulder.
Right.
Sort of thing. We could have a whole episode about this. And I think somebody is putting together such a show. And if that happens, we will certainly mention and link to it.
Well, I have more stories like that I can tell you.
All right. Well, I want to take a quick break real quick because we have Terrence on the line. And when we come back, we'll get him back on and lambast him for being late.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We're also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
So let's move on. Do we have anything more to say about how to behave at a convention?
Look, don't touch.
Look, yeah, and don't be a douche.
Those are very good general rules.
For the love of God, shower before going.
Yes.
Please, and please shower during. Please.
There is...
Not like right at the table.
No, not at the table, but...
Right, there's... I forget what the actual thing for, like, at Convergence, one of the biggest nerd convention in Minnesota, possibly the Midwest. But they have always this thing that they go through, and I forget what it is. There's like a number system. It's like at least eat twice, sleep for at least for 6 hours a day, and shower once a day. Because seriously, damn. It's basically is the gist, but yeah.
Febreze used to set up a table at cons where basically you paid them $1 to spray you with Febreze and paid $2 for them to spray someone else.
That's awesome.
That's funny. All right, moving on. Terrence, do you know anything about this next one where Jay Manga shuts down?
I haven't heard about this one. No. Jay Manga is a sort of a distribution thing as well, is it? Similar to Comixology or for presumably J-Manga?
That's the gist that I got. I hadn't heard of it until I ran across it last night, and then I was very sad because I was like, oh, this manga website, and now I can't even check it out.
Yeah.
Because I suck, apparently.
Robot 6.
I don't like the name personally, J-Manga. What other manga is there?
Yeah, I know.
There's K manga. There's K manga.
That's manhwa. You
technicality.
Yeah, geez, Ben. No, so
I'm
basically,
Korean, so manhwa.
J manga represents everything that is potentially wrong with Comixology, and the fact that once J manga goes down, everything that people bought legitimately through them is gone too.
Yeah.
So,
hey.
that is one of the faults of digital content. It's this actually reminds me of a story that happened last year.
Oh, where, tell us, Ben.
Okay. Bruce Willis sued Apple Computers.
Okay.
Because he has a massive iTunes collection, and when he dies, he wants to make sure his children have all those songs.
Okay.
And because the iTunes term of use basically says, you know, you don't really own the songs you buy. You just sort of have you buy access to songs. Mm. Not, you don't really own songs. So Bruce Willis wanted to, like, it's not like buying a car, is basically what I'm saying.
Right. That's why I buy my music from Amazon. Because I can actually download it and it is mine.
Yeah. That's exactly why. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's another reason why I don't use iTunes.
That's the main reason I don't use iTunes.
The main reason I don't use iTunes is because it acts like a virus.
I'm on a Mac.
Chewing up the processor.
chewing up the processor like Firefox. What do you think you are, an OS? Anyway. So
they do think they're an OS.
But it looks like they gave refunds. Or partial refunds?
Yeah, they're refunding the unused. Like you have to like purchase points in order to actually buy anything, which is kind of weird to me.
Screw that noise! If that's all they're refunding, oh, that is so terrible.
Yeah, they're refunding whatever points you haven't used.
This is why I'll never buy digital unless it's like through somebody's website and there's a PayPal there and I get the file. You know,
right.
Mm. Yeah, too bad if you have $200 worth of comics that you've poured money into over the last few years. It's just gone.
Especially when you could have spent the same exact amount in most cases and got the real thing.
Yeah.
Not really. People go for digital content because they have reading tablets and stuff like that.
There's that too, but you can't tell me a digital copy of one comic is worth $2.99 digitally as it is physically. That is a complete lie.
I'll agree with that.
Especially if you don't get to actually own it.
Yeah, I'll agree with that because you don't have the same costs incurred either with like actually publishing and printing it, you know.
Distributing it.
That too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shelf space, you know, all of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, oh my God, shelf space is a premium in my house.
Yeah, I mean, if a lot more comics were like 99 cents or the simple fact that I could keep it indefinitely, I would probably actually buy a lot more digital comics. That's just as simple as fact as that. But yeah.
Definitely.
All right. So.
And the saddest thing about the whole J manga thing is that they've only been around since like for like 2 years. So it's like, wow, that did not last very long.
That didn't work.
Right.
Well, at least we can hope that means maybe there aren't too many people who went and poured $200 into it. And yeah. Lost
no
everything.
Kidding.
So let's move on to our next story, which is somewhat related. If you've been under a rock or not online in the past week or so, Google is dropping its RSS reader.
No!
Though Dig is trying to save the day and developing their own.
Hey,
interesting.
Dig's
trying to stay relevant, you know.
Yeah.
The tie-in is clearly because a lot of people that read webcomics, they'll use the RSS the RSS reader from Google as an aggregator and just get all their comics that way.
Like, yeah, that's what I do.
You know what's really unfair about this is I made it one of my New Year's resolutions to finally learn how to use RSS. Damn it, Google.
Aww.
So my life will be so much easier now. I can track my 50,000 webcomics in one place and damn it.
There are other options.
There's got to be other RSS readers, though.
There
aggregators.
Are. I don't know if there's any that are like
good,
entirely or entirely web based. Because that's what I need. I need something that's not browse. It can't be dependent on my computer or my smartphone or whatever. It has to live on the web. That's my main criteria. Mm. And that's one of the reasons I love Google Reader, because it lives entirely on the web.
Well, there might be like, I wonder if there's probably like some Google Chrome apps, because that's one thing I like, because you can, that usually it can tie into apps, and it also can tie in if you have a Chrome browser on your phone or tablet. And because what I really like about Chrome is that it properly syncs everything between your login, unlike Firefox, which doesn't sync, it aggregates and it screws up all of my bookmarks because I have reorganized all of my webcomic bookmarks into certain folders. Aww. And this and that, and moved things around and deleted it. What did it do? It added the old thing with the new thing and screwed everything up. It didn't sync at all. Ah!
Well, you should buy a Firefox OS phone then.
No, I've been weaning myself away from Firefox, since it's also kind of a resource hog as well. But
You don't. Well, I already use Chrome everything.
Well, I've been getting to Chrome. I've been getting into the Chrome browser. I mean, I wish I had. One thing I really liked about Firefox was that there was a plugin I used. It was like Cookie Monkey or Cookie Monster, where I had direct control over every single cookie with a click of a button. Well, two clicks, technically, right from the screen, because I like to say whether or not a site has permission every single time. And quickly, oh, I don't like the cookies on this site. Erase all cookies. It was I love that plugin. If I can find a plugin like that for Chrome, I am totally done with Firefox.
Nice.
They have them.
All right.
All right.
I think I ranted a little bit too much. So somebody else take the reins.
All right. Well, the next story is about how lucky we are to live in the Western world, where it's about another cartoonist being jailed for doing something political again. I haven't even read the story yet.
We're not even sure if that's specifically why. That's probably what happened, but he came back from wherever he was going, and they said, "Oh, we're gonna put you in jail now because we want to. No charges. We're just throwing you in jail."
And from the sound of it, they just plan to leave him there.
Yeah,
sounds like it.
Even better.
Well,
But it is, he is sort of known for his political tie-ins in his cartoons.
Yeah,
over there. But it's one of those things. It seems such a small part of the world, being in the cartooning sphere. But I suppose if it's what you're drawing is starting to get people thinking, or starting to get people a little bit outraged, then it could be a bit of a danger for people in power.
It's articles like this, situations like this, where people who really bitch about, oh, I have the First Amendment right to do this or that. It's like, well, you really need to think about how damn good you have it compared to certain countries where especially they don't have due process, or they may say they have due process, but they clearly don't. And you can even point your finger at some Western countries for certain cases as well. But we've got pretty good here.
In France, you get thrown in jail for booing during the national anthem during a soccer game.
Okay, then.
How could you tell between a French person singing La Marseillaise and booing it?
Send hate mail to Terrence.
Well, the thing is, you just have to threaten them and they'll give up.
Send hate mail to Ben.
All right. Well, the French will send me hate mail. I'll just threaten them and they'll give up.
All right. This article comes to us from theworld.org and as well as palestinechronicle.com. The previous article.
Wait, this comes from the World Organization?
World.org. It has an article on it.
It's the
World. It's an organization. This is the New World Order Fest. We don't listen to the New World Order here.
No, Ben. Listen. It's from the PR. It's the World from the BBC, PRI, and WGBH, whatever that is.
Yeah, otherwise known as The World, when it's mentioned on the radio. But no.
Perspectives for an American audience.
Yes.
We're special.
All right, we're going to... Let's just take another quick break here while we fix some technical stuff behind the scenes, and we'll be right back.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
So we're back. All right.
And we're rocking.
So we had a little bit of a discussion during break that just got totally off the rails and of no particular need to save. But apparently we're going to have to listen to an Animation Aficionados podcast about Two Stupid Dogs at some point when it comes out. So
no, about the career of Genndy Tartakovsky.
Well, that too. That happens to be just a part of it.
I'm looking forward to that one. That one better come out soon.
It's going to come out on Monday.
Okay. That's soon enough.
By the time you hear this episode, that episode will be already out. Okay, so we're moving on. We got a little bit. We've already talked about this next one basically at the top of the show, so I'm going to move that down at the list. So, Terrence, did you bring this one up, the about the 700 number ones?
Yeah, back over at Comixology, again with their release in partnership with Marvel of 700 issue number ones of various comic titles for absolutely free, which managed to get such a response that it completely crashed out the Comixology servers when it went live. And I think they were down for a day or two as they were trying to sort it all out and get it going back up again.
Like they didn't learn anything from Spider-Man issue 700.
Yeah, that's why they released 700 issues.
Is that the reason that they did it? Or
yeah,
just because they had 700 issues kicking around.
No, exactly 700 issues. That's why they decided that would be cute, because they like Marvel's policy right now is if you aren't trolling, you aren't doing it right.
I love that they've gone and done issue number 700, crashed out the server, and thought, well, 700 must be the magic number. That must be why everyone loved it. So we'll do 700 things.
No, everyone bought it because they wanted to be mad at it.
All right.
just like with the Orson Scott Card Superman, everyone's going to buy it because they want to be mad at it.
I'm not buying it.
I believe it. Can't be mad at it if you haven't read it.
I didn't buy it, so but I am allowed to be mad at it, so that's the difference. I keep my dignity intact by not buying it.
Dignity, Ben.
Did you at least read it?
I did read it.
Okay, well, you can be mad at it then, as long as you read it.
Yes, I did read it.
All right, so...
Jeez, we generally mad.
I don't know, this is almost...
sort of the way that this sort of ties back to webcomics is... it's been brought up. Brad Geiger put a post up on webcomics.com pointing out the possibilities of this. And the fact that Marvel is going into a sort of free or a freemium model, getting really good response, mm-hmm. how is this going to, in the future, affect their business decisions, and particularly for a format like Comixology, which has just come out with the Comixology Submit and putting out some food for all the starving independent artists out there. Mm-hmm. How is a big publisher like Marvel or DC or Image coming in and starting to offer things for free? Mm-hmm. How is that going to affect the webcomics world, which has traditionally had the lion's share of the free market out there?
I think it's not going to hurt. Because what webcomics bring is more than what's available in everything that's already in comic books. It's, you know, slice of life, this, you know, stories that you can't see in regular comic books. That's the beauty of what's in the webcomic world. And it's the absolute right thing to do to have more free issues available for digital distribution by these bigger companies. It's absolutely the right thing to do. Because if they are able to control where the what content they have out for free, or even ad supported for free, then that will fight the piracy, because more people will be willing to download and read from a trusted source than they would from an untrusted source. Even if there are ads, people will put up with an ad wall. They won't more so than a paywall. It's Hulu, and Hulu has proven this.
Yeah, it's like, I think, yeah, it's you have to go into Comixology, and you have to go through you sign in, and then you have to download it, versus just going to a website and clicking through and reading the comic. I mean, I personally would like to see some of the bigger companies, kind of using that term loosely, when you have people like Jeff Jacks, which has higher readership than a lot of like Marvel DC properties. But just like maybe do a webcomics model for some of their maybe more niche stuff, instead of canceling them, maybe it could survive in a webcomics world, and then you get the people that'll want to buy the trade or the comic or whatever. And so until the big companies start actually doing a webcomics model, I don't think anything like this. Though I do appreciate that, hey, if we want to get people to check out these comics, give them the first one free.
Ooh,
get them involved. It's advertising.
And Fess is happy too, because now he gets to do 7 more episodes of his show.
first issue.
No, I have at least 4 short boxes of number ones that I've bought that I don't think I'll ever get to. for in case those are wondering, they're talking about the first issue a web series that I do, which is also found on the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com. Anyway.
I can just imagine that when this news item broke, you just looked over at that box of your investment and just went, oh, damn it. the thing about it is it will be good for getting new eyes into the market that perhaps wouldn't have come before, because there will be people, there'll be DC, Marvel readers who have been into the comics for ages, or who have only heard about comic books as being from the big guys, click through to check out their free issue, and there is the chance that they might just click on to see what else is in the Comixology store. Oh, hey, this one's free too, and mm-hmm. click through to it. The only the only real risk I can see personally from a potential monetization point of view for a webcomic is, now you know we all, and I'm speaking here specifically, you know, thinking about my own comic, who are sort of learning what to do, don't draw extremely well, but now our issues of things will be right up next to the professional cartoonist who has been doing it for decades and doing it as a professional, being professionally paid for it. So it does become a bit of a risk in that sense for potential readers, because the gap between the professional and the aspirationalist is going to become really pronounced when they're right next to each other.
Well, it's always been pronounced, I think, because there already are tons of pros that are already in the webcomic space. You can't pretend that they've never existed before. They've always been there. And if anything, they
are the ones that are mainly monetizing as well with things like volumes of their work for sale. But it's one thing to know that they're there and travel through a link chain to get from one to the other. And I think it might be a bit of a different thing when they are sitting sort of right next to each other in a online store.
I welcome it. I welcome it, because if anything that makes you it makes people step up their game, makes them want to try harder, is a good thing. And everyone knows the statistic of starting webcomics that quit, that fail, right?
Depressingly, yes.
Yeah.
So anything that makes someone stop before they even start, when they're not going to even bother doing it in 6 months from now, I don't see that as a bad thing. I see that as something that encourages people who really have the drive to do it and discourages people who don't. And it's a good thing to have more people in the webcomic space, even professionals, even past issues of former print books. It's good for both industries overall. It's good for the readers. It's good for the fans. It's good for everything. I see nothing but positives here.
I agree.
Oh, that's pretty upbeat and good.
Yeah, it does seem like this is a. I'm going to be making an announcement in a few weeks with the proper with the Webcomic Beacon regular show, but I'm looking to close the main line down at some point this year. And so there's like a few episodes I want to get in there in before we end, as well as cover a topic such as this, as in the reasons why. And one of the episodes that I'm going to be wanting to look at is webcomics models over the years. That I would argue that the quote unquote webcomics model has changed yet again. There's like the people that started, Scott Kurtz and all those people that has been here since the beginning. That model doesn't exist anymore, I would argue. And the biggest thing about webcomics is that there's supposed to be no bar of entry to come in. But essentially there is, it's more obvious to me now that there is a bar of entry, or maybe not a bar of entry, but a bar of lasting. And it's really all on you, whether or not you're going to stay in this. There's also whether or not the audience is out there, or if the audience is going to shun you and boo you, sort of thing. That can be your bar. But a lot of times it's not fighting against or trying to find an audience. It's really you that you're fighting with to stay in the game, so to speak, I would argue. So that'll be a future episode. We'll have some discussion on that, but yeah, very interesting, stuff. And let's see here. I think we're at the end of our newscast this week. Do you guys have anything else you want to discuss about some things that have happened?
Not really, no.
Well, okay.
Yeah, I got nothing. Nothing of interest, anyway.
We'll continue with doing the newscasts for now and seeing how they're going. We appreciate your feedback, either leaving a comment on the website or emailing us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And I do want to mention that there are some episodes for the Webcomic Beacon proper show with me, Mark, and Kelly that we're going to be looking for some additional information or perspective from people. I'm wanting to put together a what can we legally do episode about what can you do, what resources you have when somebody steals or lists your work without your permission or they're claiming as their own. So we'll be looking
That'd for be a good one.
Yeah, we'll be looking for extra feedback on that. Let's see here. We're also going to be looking at doing a show all about commissions and how much are they worth or how much do you feel you are worth?
I struggle with that all the time.
That'll be an interesting. I got some guests trying to line up for that. We're also going to have another because we want an excuse to talk about an episode. We're going to be talking with Rich Morris again, who did the 10 Doctors webcomic. We're going to have him back for a James Bond episode. This being the 50th, last year being the 50th anniversary of James Bond. So that'll be a nice, fun time to just talk about James Bond and a new comic that he's working on. Let's see here. Some other things include a retrospective as well as favorite webcomics full time. You can find out more information later on. But that is going to be it for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon newscast, and we will have another one in a week or two. This has been what is so funny?
Oh, I keep dropping just the last couple minutes.
All right, fine. Well, this is
a sign.
So, once again, I do want to thank Ren for when she's here. Rise
thank
Camp,
you for having me.
MarshaMullaSurprise.com. Ben Carver from AnimationAficionados.com.
All right, thank you.
And Terrence, who eventually showed up, McManus, from AJComic.com. Thank you all for coming on.
Damn daylight savings, fading the curtains and confusing the cows.
Excuses. This has been Fest from the Webcomic Beacon Network, Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com. See you next time.